Ambassador Ronald Newman is the president of the American Academy of Diplomacy and former U.S. ambassador to Afghanistan, Iraq, and Bahrain, among others. I asked him if it seemed sometimes like Washington had a hard time staying connected to his embassies.
Frequently, but then have you ever known a field anywhere that didn't think headquarters was loony?
Fair enough.
I mean, that's sort of the nature of the world and people. I think one of the things that was particularly important from the field, though, was thinking very hard about how you reach your audience in Washington. And that goes into things as simple as how you draft cables, put headlines you put on them. A lot of the things that people said, gee, this is interesting when they read WikiLeaks, are part of that business of how you connect to Washington. And then, of course, a place like Afghanistan, I could back that up by my weekly telephone call with the Secretary of State. But there's always an issue of getting the home not only to understand what's going on, but to understand the way the foreigners see it, and even more difficult to get them to actually care about the way the foreigners see us.
The people who did that well, who reached their audience back here in Washington well, what did they do to do that well?
A mix of factors. There's not one. Part of it is simply technique. People who draft well, people who keep the message short. Understanding their Washington audience so they understand what themes resonate without being unprofessional about reporting or not reporting facts, but understanding how to present them so that they at least get read, and then possibly you get some sympathetic understanding, particularly if you're trying to change a policy. Then you've got to do a lot of work, often a lot of work on presenting factual details, and you don't get a change in policy because you write a brilliant paper and everybody stands up and says, oh, that's right. I have never seen that happen in almost four decades in the government. Where you change a policy is by changing people's understanding, first of all, of the underlying circumstances, and beginning to look at things around the edge so that by the time you write the great paper, everybody treats it as common wisdom. We all knew that. And a policy becomes a matter of accretion and having many people adopt it so that they all become godfathers of the policy. And in the end, if you're successful, so many people agree with it that nobody remembers you started it.
So if I'm going to sum that up, I'm going to sum it up as that it is not just the message that needs to be conveyed from the field to D.C. that's important, but the way that message is conveyed. And the successful people do it in kind of an incremental way so that by the time everybody realizes that a message has been conveyed, it doesn't even seem like that anymore, it kind of sounds like.
That is often part of it.
What else? What were some of the most challenging things that you found in your assignments around the world in getting those messages back here and then feeling confident that they were understood and that, as you said, somebody actually listened and cared about them? And I'm not referring necessarily just to diplomatic messages, but to messages about your workforce or other internal situations that you had in your embassy or anything.
Well, of course, certain messages you may convey them, but you don't get a satisfactory answer because it lies outside people's power to give you a satisfactory answer. We did not have enough people in the embassy in Afghanistan, but given the size of the State Department staffing, the amount that anybody could do to respond to that was very limited. USAID, our assistance agency, was even worse. They simply did not have enough people to provide adequate supervision of what they were doing. But aid is massively understaffed, and so that situation is recurring right today. And Congress will have periodic moments of yelling and screaming about this or that contract, but as they are adamantly objecting to giving the agency the staff it needs to do its job, it will continue to fail to do its job. and Congress will continue to have a hissy about it. In some cases, it was just a question of where attention is. In 2006, when I, or actually late 2005, I knew the war in Afghanistan was getting much worse, was going to get worse. I asked for a $600 million economic supplemental to try to address some of the problems we had. And after several months of back and forthing, I got 43 and less than a nickel on the dollar. Obviously massively inadequate. But that was still the period when, as you remember, Admiral Mullen said a year or two later, in Iraq we do what we must, in Afghanistan we do what we can. It was a strategic judgment of which was more important that I couldn't always break. So you have those, but sometimes you manage to get things right. And at one point in Algeria, I was able to convince people over time that the situation was not deadlocked. The government was winning, however difficult, thuggish that government was, and we needed to adjust policy to the fact that they were winning a civil war.
What would help Washington understand the field better? What would help the field understand Washington better? What would ease the two-way communication channels?
I think the issue of greatest concern to me right now is the result of WikiLeaks, that people are putting less into their reports. They are communicating less with Washington, and they're going to communicate on a much tighter band to a much smaller number of people because of the leaks. And that means that policies, particularly stupid policies when such are recommended, will be discussed among smaller groups of people and will not have the analysis in the intelligence community they ought to. That kind of leakage, although it is very attractive to the journalistic profession, I think sometimes does the nation great